to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 19, if you will. I'm going to try to read several verses to us tonight to try to get us familiar with what's going on in this passage of Scripture. I'm only interested in just a few things here. There's many things I love to preach in this passage of Scripture, and we'll maybe talk about a few of them tonight, but I just want to try to draw your attention to just one thing here, Matthew chapter 19. As you find your place, I want you to look at verse 16 together, and we'll read verse 16 and the remainder of the chapter together. So read along with me, if you will, and your reading might be better than mine, so I want you to read along with me. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, the Bible says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lacketh I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then saith Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. We'll stop there. We're going to read some more, but that's a good saying for us to remember tomorrow. But with God, all things are possible. But with God, all things are possible. It says here in verse 27, Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that has forsaken house, or brother, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Let's pray together. Father, help our hearts tonight. You know exactly what needs to be done. And God, I believe with all my heart, you're the only one that can do it. The Bible says with God, all things are possible. The Bible says also that there's nothing too hard for you. I pray, God, tonight, by thy Spirit, would you speak to our hearts. You'll help me to preach and proclaim the word of God. And may it stand like it stands. True, inerrant, inspired, preserved word of God. Help us tonight in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Here's a rich young ruler. The Bible gives us much to say about him. He come to Jesus and said, Jesus, good master. And Jesus quickly rebuked him and said, there's none good but one, and that's God. So in other words, Jesus said, hey, if you call on me good, then you're calling me God. And my friend, Jesus Christ is God. And God is Jesus Christ. It's amazing. In John chapter 3, I'm not going to take time to turn there. But Jesus Christ was talking to Nicodemus. And he was talking to Nicodemus about himself. He said, verily, verily, I say to you, ye must be born again. And then he went on to say that Jesus Christ was still in heaven. He said, hey, you have to believe on Jesus who's still in heaven. But yet Jesus Christ was speaking to Nicodemus face to face in this world. Hey, I want you to know something. Hey, God and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit, my friend, is co-equal and co-existent and eternally existent with each other, my friend. Hey, and they go together. I don't know how they go together, but they're all part of one. They're all three, but they're all part of one. And here God told this young rich ruler, he said, hey, what do you want? And this rich young ruler said, hey, what should I do? He said, what should I do to inherit eternal life? What can I do to receive eternal life? And I believe Jesus Christ was just trying to get his attention. He said, well, hey, if you want eternal life, you keep the commandments. The old man said, well, what should I keep? And Jesus Christ began to tell him all kinds of things. Let me read to you here. And the Bible says here, thou shalt do no murder. My friend, have you ever been angry with somebody? According to the New Testament, if you've been angry with somebody, you've committed murder. The Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Have we ever just been lazy on God and went back into the world? My friend, if we've done that, we've committed adultery. The Bible says, thou shalt not steal. God's given us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Have we ever stole one of them days away from God? Then we're thieves. My friend, let us know what the Bible says. Thou shalt not bear false witness. We've all done that before. We've all lied before. We've all said something we shouldn't have said before. We've all beguiled somebody before. Maybe if I would buy a Bible and the Bible cost $50 or $49.99 and my wife asked me how much you paid for it, I said, well, it's a little bit over $30. That's beguiling my wife. It's trying to get over on her. The Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. And we've all known when we was little we didn't complete that. We loved them to death. We honored them most of the time, but sometimes we didn't. The Bible said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I don't believe any one of us checked on our neighbors this morning, made sure they had breakfast to eat, made sure they was getting up and going to church. But here Jesus Christ, he spoke to this young man and said, hey, if you want everlasting life, then keep the commandments. He wanted him to realize right off, hey, you can't have everlasting life by keeping the commandments. You can't have eternal life by just doing something, because there's no amount of doing that you can do to receive everlasting life. It's amazing here the young man said, what shall I do to receive everlasting life? And God says, Jesus said, it's not what you can do, but it's what you can give away that will make your life perfect. Notice what Jesus said here, just by the way of introduction. It says here in verse 21, Jesus said to him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Here's a rich man, a young ruler. He come to Jesus and said, Jesus, I want everlasting life. What should I do? Hey, Jesus point blank said, hey, if you want everlasting life, you sell all that you have, you give it to the poor, and you follow me. The young man was grieved because it wasn't something he could earn. It wasn't something he could buy. It wasn't something he could purchase. It wasn't something he could merit. All he could do, my friend, is just get in the yoke with Christ and follow the Lord to have everlasting life. And then Peter stepped on the scene, which was average Baptist. And I want you to notice what Peter said to Jesus. This is what caught my attention. In verse 27, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? You know what Peter said? Peter said exactly what I said. Peter said exactly what you've said. Peter is saying exactly what we all want to say. Peter was just man enough to stand up and tell Jesus to his face exactly what he is feeling. You know what Jesus said to Peter? He said, Jesus, he said, you told this young man to sell his possessions and to follow you, and you'll be perfect. Jesus, I want you to know something. He said, I've given my life to you. I've followed you for these 3 years. I've stopped my fishing. I've stopped supporting my family. I've followed the Lord. I've done all that you want me to do. Jesus, what will you give me from following you? I want to ask the Lord that question myself. I've been saved for 8 years. Ever since I've been saved, I've been going visiting. I've been trying to follow the Lord. I've been reading my Bible. I've been praying. I've been trying to be the best Christian I can be. And sometimes I want to sit down and just ask Jesus, what are you going to give me from trying to live for you? My friend, listen to what the Bible says for us. I hope it gets more clear as we go on. Notice what it says here. In verse 27, Peter said, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" Notice the answer Jesus gave. And Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Notice what it says in verse 29. "And everyone that has forsaken house, or brother, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my name's sake." Here, Jesus Christ said, "Peter, I want you to know something. There's a great reward." He said, "All those, my friend, all of us that are saved tonight and been following Jesus Christ, and we forsook a lot of things. Sometimes, my friend, my wife has needed me to be home, but yet I still get dressed and go on visitation. Sometimes my children are sick, but we still drag them to church, and we still make them go to Sunday school class, and we still make them sit in preaching. Sometimes, beloved, I get wore out like you get wore out." My friend, we'll be honest tonight. How many of us really honestly tonight was wanting to come to church tonight? My friend, we can all say that in our flesh, we wanted to stay home, we wanted to rest, we wanted to sleep, we wanted to relax, we just wanted to have a time to take a break. My wife woke me up, I fell asleep on the couch, and she woke me up and said, "Honey, you got to get ready for tonight." I woke up and said, "Honey, I've got a headache. I don't feel like studying, I don't feel like reading, I don't feel like going to church. I wish I could just stay home." My friend, sometimes it's not easy following the Lord. And sometimes we've got to forsake things that we love. Here Jesus said in verse 29, "And everyone that has forsaken house." My friend, sometimes you've got to forsake your house. Sometimes you've got to let your house go down while you keep the church house going. Hey, beloved, I'd rather cut the church yard than have my yard cut. I'd rather paint the church's walls than have my walls painted. I'd rather, my friend, to keep the church house going than to keep my house going. I'd rather keep the lights on the church going than the lights of my own house going. Here the Bible says, all of you, my friend, I'm looking at a group of people who have sacrificed. I'm looking at a group of people who have suffered. I'm looking at a group of people who has forsook their own house, my friend, to follow God. And what are we going to get for it? The Bible says here in verse 29, "And everyone that has forsaken house are brethren." There's a lot of good people. Now, he's not talking about brethren, saved people that you can call your brother in Christ. I've got good friends. I've got good friends that I believe they're saved. I believe they're on the way to heaven, but they don't quite believe the same way I believe about the Bible, so there's only so far we can go. I've got a good friend. I won't call his name out because he's probably going to listen to these tapes or these CDs on the computer. I gave him a website, told him to check it out. But I tell you tonight, I will not and cannot go to his church. I love him. He's my friend. I'm his friend. We've worked together. We've been fishing together. But because of some things he believed and his church believed, I cannot go there. So in a way, I've got to forsake him if I'm going to follow Jesus according to the way the Bible says I should follow the Lord. The Bible says this, "And all and everyone that has forsaken house and brethren and sisters and our father or mother." My friend, sometimes we've got to forsake our own parents. That don't mean not honor them. That don't mean disobey them. Sometimes when they call you, say, "Hey, I got lunch prepared for you on Sunday evening. I want you to come to my house about 11 o'clock and have Sunday supper with us." I got to say, "Mama, I can't go. The church house will be open. I've got to be in God's house." There's many times we got to tell our relatives and tell our friends and tell our coworkers and tell our pals and tell our buddies and tell our mamas and tell our daddies, "Hey, God is more important to me than you are. Sometimes we've got to say, hey, honey, God is more important to me than you are. Sometimes I don't want to hurt my mama, but sometimes I got to say, mama, God's more important to me than you are. Hey, God's more important to me than you are. And God's more important to me than my sister. Hey, we don't want to say it, but sometimes if we're going to follow God, we've got to say, hey, I'm going to forsake my house. I'm going to forsake my brother and my sisters. I'm going to forsake my mama and daddy because I'm going after God. I believe Peter done that. I believe Peter could look at Jesus and said, Jesus, I left my nets and I followed you. I left my wife and my children. I supplied for them. I supported them, but I followed you. Lord, I've left my mother. I left my daddy. And God, I followed you. How many preacher boys leave everything they have and go to a college to get help to be a better preacher? How many missionaries do we have back there on our wall that's left their home state, that's left our house, that they've worked for 10, 15 years and left their parents behind and left their aunts and uncles behind and say, hey, we're going with God and we're going to go to Brazil, we're going to Africa, we're going to Australia, we're going to England, we're going somewhere to preach the gospel because we've got to follow the Lord. Hey, my friend, I want to tell you something. Hey, sometimes following Jesus, it's not convenient. Sometimes following Jesus, it's not easy. Sometimes following Jesus, it's not comfortable, but it must be done. You know what Peter said? Peter said, Lord, I followed you. What shall I get for it? Look what else Jesus said here in verse 29. Sisters or fathers or mothers or wife. Beloved, sometimes I love to leave myself at home with my wife. But sometimes I got to go. Me and my wife, ever since we've been married, we've not been apart too much. I'll take a week off to go to pastor's college. She'll take a few days off to go to the ladies' meeting and walk her town. But we've never been apart too long. I hate to leave my wife behind. But sometimes it's needful. Sometimes it's needful. Here he said, who's going to forsake his wife or children or lands for my name's sake? My friend, how many young boys and girls we got growing up in our church that's going to be serious enough with God and say, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. You know what I want? I love when our children, Bianca's going to graduate high school pretty soon. I love for her to go to Florence Darlington Tech. I love for her to go to Francis Marion University so we can keep her right here with us. But you know what? We've got enough of faith in God that God can protect her and keep her safe. Now we can say, God, we'd take our hands off of her, and whatever you want her to do, wherever you want her to go, we'll be praying for her. I hope our children go to a good Christian college and get a Christian education. My friend, something that's going to be based on the Word of God. But here the Bible says, Jesus said, if you follow me and you forsook all these things, here's what Jesus said I'd do for you in verse 30. Well, verse 29, we'll get to 30 in a minute. Let's read verse 29 again. The Bible says, and everyone that has forsaken house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold. Let's stop there for a minute. You know what Jesus told Peter? You know what Jesus tells us tonight? I want you to really get this tonight because we're going somewhere. And I've just got one thing to tell you tonight. Once we get to it, that's it. You can shout, you can jump, you can cry, you can go outside, whatever you wish to do. Here's what Jesus told Peter. He said, Peter, if you will follow me, if you'll forsake your house, you'll forsake your mom and daddy, you'll forsake your brothers and sisters, you'll forsake your children, you'll forsake all that you ever knew, and follow me, I will give you 100-fold. That means, Peter, whatever you had before, he said, I'll give you 100 times more than that. He said, Peter, whatever you had before, I'll give you 100-fold. He said, hey, Peter, if you'll follow me, I will repay you. I will give you something in return. Hey, beloved, I want to tell you something. Since I've been following Jesus, it has not been easy. It's been a great life. It's been a wonderful life, but it has not been a bed of roses. And we can look around, and I can tell you there's been people that have suffered in this church, my friend, to keep the church going. There's been people who's give sacrificially, my friend, to get this church erected. There's been people, my friend, who sweated, who bled, who cried, who gave, my friend, so God's work can continue on here at Open Door Independent Baptist Church. I want to ask you, all that you ever gave and all that you ever done, all the prayers you ever prayed, every dollar you ever gave, every time you knocked on somebody's door, what will God give us in return? You know what God said He'll do? He said, I give you 100-fold. 100-fold. You know how many doors I've knocked on in my Christian life? I can't count them. You know how many times I went out on a week? There for a whole week. I tell you, there for a whole week. A great man of God, you know what he told me? He said, if you're knocking on 100 doors every day, God will double your church in 6 weeks. That's what he said. 6 weeks or 6 months. I knocked on 100 doors every day for a week. Hey, that Sunday before I done that, we had probably 80 in church. That next Sunday, my friend, I've already knocked on 100 doors every day except Sunday. We come to church on Sunday, and we had about half that many. We had about 40 in church service. I went to my wife. I said, hey, that's not working. Hey, that's not working. I take other men's advice. I do what everybody else says. And sometime, beloved, I sweat. I bleed. I give out. I'm wore out. I'm tired. And I wonder, what in the world is God going to give me from the work I'm doing for Him? If you'll be honest with yourself, you ask the same question. You've been teaching Sunday school classes. You've been teaching the same children. You wonder, are these children going to grow up and do right? Am I studying my brains out? Am I giving all I got on Sunday morning just to watch the children grow up and forsake the church and never come back to God's house again? If you ever work in children's church, you'll wonder, hey, I'm giving my life to these children. I'm serving these children. I'm wearing myself out for these children. When they grow up and get on their own, will they ever stay in church? 2 out of 10 teenagers. 2 out of every 10 teenagers stays in church after they turn 18. If we got 10 in here tonight, 2 of them are going to be here when they reach the age of 18. The other 8 is going to be gone somewhere else, according to statistics. But my friend, I tell you, we suffer. We take them to youth meetings. We have activities planned for them. We preach to them. We do all we can. And you know what we're looking for? We're looking for the payoff. We're looking for the payoff. You're looking for the payoff, ain't you? Lord, I've forsaken all. Lord, I could have stayed on a job. I could have stayed on a job when I was 22 years old. The day I got saved, I was working a job, my friend, getting paid $17.11 an hour. For a 22-year-old man, that was good money. Hey, for the day and age we're living in now, hey, that's pretty good money. And they told me I can advance. They told me I can get put on first shift. And they told me, hey, I can do this and I can do that. But all of that would interfere with church. Told him I couldn't do it. I wonder, hey, sometimes we struggle now. Sometimes we barely make it now. When is God going to come through? If we be honest with ourselves, church, that's what we ask. I've given to God all. I've given God my whole adult life. I've served God from my youth up. I've forsook a lot of things that I could have had. I'm talking about you now. You've forsook a lot of things you could have had for God. And you look back on it now and say, when is God going to give me my 100-fold? You know what he says in verse 29? He says, and ye shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. You know what God says? God says, I'm going to give you 100-fold in this world and plus eternal life in the next world. He said, hey, I'm going to give you 100-fold while you're living here in this world. And my friend, when you die and go to take your last breath, I'll take you to heaven to be with me. Here Peter said, Lord, we forsook all. We've given you all that we ever have. We've given you every breath in our lungs, every strength that we can mount up in our bodies. Hey, Jesus, we've given you everything. And what shall we get in return? You know what Jesus said? I give you 100-fold. I give you a hundredfold. I give you a hundredfold. I give you a hundredfold, Sunday school teachers. I give you a hundredfold, bus driver, bus captain, goes out on Sunday mornings and picks up the children, gets up probably earlier than anybody else in the church to get ready for church. Not just to get up and watch TV, not to get up and just drink your coffee and eat your breakfast, but he gets up to get ready for church probably earlier than anybody else. And he's probably one of the last ones to get home from church. What's he going to have? What's he going to have from doing that? Brother John, I don't want to burst a bubble tonight, but you probably won't ever have a mansion. You probably won't ever be a millionaire. You probably won't have the fastest and nicest car there is in the world. And neither will any of us. Neither will any of us. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, Peter, I give you a hundredfold because you're serving me. And I give you eternal life because you're serving me. And then Jesus gave a parable in chapter 20. I want to draw your attention to one verse here. In Matthew chapter 20. And this is it. Well, let's recap for a minute. Here in verse 27, Peter said, what shall we have? In other words, he said, Jesus, we followed you. What shall we have? Jesus said in verse 29, ye shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. And notice in chapter 20, verse 4, and the Bible says, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. You know what's going on here? Jesus said, hey, if you're going to forsake your house and forsake your wife and forsake your father and your mother and your children and your land, and he said, hey, if you're going to surrender your life and you're going to give up everything you could have had in the world to follow me, if you're going to give yourself to me, he said, hey, I will give you a hundredfold. I will give you everlasting life. He said, I want you to know something. At the end of your life, he said, hey, when you get to heaven, you'll realize then whatever was right is what I gave you. I want you to know something tonight, my friend. Hey, you keep on serving God and live for Jesus. Hey, you keep on praying. You keep on preaching. You keep on giving. You keep on going because God will never be in debt to any one of us. Hey, God will never owe any one of us anything. You'll never get to heaven if you're saved by God's grace. When you get to heaven, you'll never look back and say, God, you should have gave me more. I'll never go to heaven and look at Jesus and say, Jesus, you should have gave me more. You should have gave me more. I'm going to tell you, my friend, we suffer. We bleed and we sweat. But you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, whatever's right, I give it to you. Whatever's right, I give it to you. He didn't say, I'll make you a millionaire. He didn't say, you have the nicest things. But you know what Jesus said? In my own terminology, in my own words, in my own thinking, Jesus said, hey, honey, I'll take care of you. Everything would be all right. Me and my wife, we're young in the Lord, and as far as I know, she's got the same mind I've got. We want to give the rest of our lives to the Lord. And when we look back on it, we might not have more than what we have now. A trailer house, vehicles, and clothes. That's all we've got. And 20 years from now, serving the Lord, we'll probably not have more than that. Just somewhere to live, clothes to put on, and something to get us around. But I promise you this, if you serve God, and if you live for Him, He'll do what's right. He'll do what's right. He will do what's right. David said, I've been young, but now I'm old. Yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. That's pretty good, ain't it? That's pretty good. But as we heard, what about Lazarus, the beggar? Lazarus at the rich man's house, rich man. You know the rich man that died and went to hell? And Lazarus laid at his gates begging But David said, hey, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. How do you explain Lazarus? The Bible's not contradicting itself. My friend, we might not have all that we ever want, but we will have all that we ever need in Jesus. Here Peter said, Jesus, what are you going to give us? Because we forsook everything and followed you. You know what Jesus plainly told him? He said, Peter, whatever's right, I'll give it to you. In other words, Jesus said, hey, Peter, you don't worry about it. I'll take care of you. And I'll supply your need every day you live. Every day you live, I'll give you exactly what you need. Well, how do you explain some of us getting sick? How do you explain some of us getting cancer? How do you explain some of us in the hospital? How do you explain some family members being torn apart? You know what that is? That's reality. That's part of life. That's just things we have to go through because we've been born a woman and we're a few days are full of trouble. But God says that in the days when you don't understand and you want to look at God and say, God, I've given you my whole life. Why do I have to go through what I'm going through? God says, remember, whatever's right, I'll give it to you. He said, you know what he says? He says, don't worry about it. I won't do you wrong. I won't do you wrong. Me and my wife, we've had people do us wrong. When we first got together, we was going to buy a trailer. The man shook my hand, and we had a verbal agreement. He said, hey, if you rent the house for a year after a year, you could buy it. We agreed to do that after a year. The price doubled, and then he wanted to sell it to us. He done us wrong. I've had boss men to do me wrong. I've had family members to do me wrong. But you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, hey, I'll never do you wrong. Whatever's right, that will I give you. I want to show you these two verses tonight, and then we'll close. And I hope after these two verses we can wrap it all up. Notice what it says here, if you would, in Psalms 27. Turn to Psalms 27. You'll find that for me in Psalms 27. Here Jesus said, Peter, you've forsaken all. You forsook your house, you forsook your wife, you forsook your children, you've given all of yourself to me, you've done all that you can ever do to follow me, Peter. You've done all that you can ever do. And I'll give you 100-fold. I believe Peter was looking around and said, Jesus, where's it at? Sometimes we look around, beloved, sometimes you look around and you say, Jesus, where's it at? Where's the blessings of God? Where is the prosperity of God? Where is the bountiful grace of God? You know what God says? God says, hey, you don't worry about my side because I'm going to do what's right. You know what we need to do? Hey, I've been tempted to do this. Just draw a line straight down the middle of the church and have everybody sit on one side because this is our side and the other side is God's side. And God said, hey, if you'll take care of this side, you don't have to worry about my side. If you will serve me, then I will be gracious to you. If you will give your life to me, I will give you what's right. Here he said, hey, if you will get saved, I will be your father and you shall be my children. And I'll do you like a father would do his children. And I'll go even above that. I do much better than that. I treat you as a God that loves his children with everlasting love. The Bible says this for us in Psalms 27, verse 13. I have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know what's going on here, David, the man of God? He said, church, I was about to faint. He said, I give my life to God. I'm at the point now where I can't take another step. I can't do another thing. I'm about to faint. But I believe to see the goodness of God, not in heaven, but in the land of the living. You know what? I believe God's going to do what's right when we get to heaven. I believe everything, every promise God's ever made about heaven is true. Bible says the walls of jasper and gates of pearl, the street of gold that's so transparent you can see right through it. I believe it's only one street. All of us will be on one street, and Christ will have his throne at the end of the street. I believe all those things about heaven. I believe, hey, loved ones going to be there. Friends going to be there. I believe it's going to be for eternity. I believe all those things to be true about heaven. I believe it's going to be a wonderful place. But hey, how about the time and the days and the months and the weeks that we have to live here in this earth? Hey, David said, hey, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God. And God said, hey, I will do what's right. Why are you here? I'm looking around, I'm seeing people that need jobs. I'm looking around, I'm seeing people that's sick, that's going to be going to the hospital. I know people in this church that's probably going through the most awfulest time in their lives they've ever been in. And you know what I'm going to say to you? God's going to do what's right. God's going to do what's right. Might not be today. God's doing what's right today. You might not see it today, but God's doing what's right. I want to show you another verse. If you can find it with me, the book of Ecclesiastes. You have Psalms, Proverbs, Songs of Solomon. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Songs of Solomon. Find it there if you would. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Find the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. I want to try to show you something real quick, and we'll close. In Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, I'm going to read this one verse to you. Try to get you to see what's going on. You remember David said, hey, I have believed to see the goodness in the land of the living. He said, hey, God's going to take care of us now while we're living. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, verse 1, notice what the Bible says. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. He said, hey, you go ahead and give your life to Jesus. You go ahead and cast your bread upon the water. You go ahead and sell out to God. You go ahead and surrender to God. You go ahead and serve God. You go ahead and get sold out to God. You cast your bread upon the water, and after many days, you'll find it again. He didn't say today. He didn't say tomorrow. But he said after many days. You know what Peter said? Peter said, Lord, what shall we have because we served you? And Jesus said, Peter, you'll have 100-fold. And I believe like all of us, Peter will look around and say, Jesus, where's it at? I don't see it. And Jesus gave him a little parable and said, Peter, I want you to know something. You don't see it today, but whatever's right, I'll do it. You know what the title of the message is? Jesus doesn't always pay on Friday. You've worked your week. You want your money, and you don't see it. But you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, hey, whatever's right, I will pay it. I will give it. I'm going to show you this one more verse. You don't have to turn there. But in Matthew chapter 19, where is that? Will I go? The Bible says in verse 30, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. You know what's going on here? I believe God's going to take care of us here in this world. He's going to supply every need we have. Can you imagine a day when we get to heaven with everybody else and we'll see a long line waiting to see Jesus? Can you imagine that, seeing a long line? I mean, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people making a straight line, waiting just to see Jesus, waiting just to spend some time with Jesus. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine all the great preachers of the world, all the great gospel singers of the world, all the great ministers of the world, all the great church leaders of the world, all the great church members of the world standing in line to see Jesus? And I can see Jesus now. Brother Robert Goss. Yeah, way back there in the back. Brother Robert, you hear me way back there in the back? Brother Robert, hold up that leathery hand. He'll say, Jesus, I hear you. I believe Jesus said, come on up here, Robert. You belong in the front. And he'll say, hey, you great preacher, take a step back. Because Brother Robert belongs here. He see him when he calls out the Sunday school teachers. He see him when he calls out the bus captain drivers. He said, hey, you give your life to God, and nobody ever paid you any attention, and nobody ever pat you on the back. Hey, Jesus will look at us and say, hey, you come on up here. Because the first will be last. The last shall be first. I'm not hitting on much. Well, John, I do the best I can. I ain't got much to work with. But I could be like everybody else and give myself to God. You know what I believe? I believe when Jesus said, hey, I'll do what's right. I believe he's going to do what's right, church. Keep on working. Keep on serving. Keep on going. You might not see it pay off today. You might not see it pay off next week. You might not see it pay off next month. You might not see it pay off next year. You might not see it pay off in this side of eternity. But I promise you, when you get to heaven, you'll never look back and say, God, you should have done more for me. We get to heaven and say, God, you've done too much. I didn't deserve one thing you've given me. Peter said, Lord, what will we have? Because we forsook everything. And Jesus said, Peter, you don't worry about that. I'll do what's right. Whatever's right, that will I pay. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you tonight that I don't have to worry about what God's going to do for me, because I know tonight that he's going to do what's right. And Father, many times I get my eyes on the day, on the present time, and I want it to take place now. I want God's blessings now. I want God's power now. I want what I believe I should get for serving the Lord. And I believe probably every one of us at a certain time in our life thought the same way or is thinking the same way. When is it going to be my turn? When is God going to hear my prayers? When is God going to do what I want or what I need to be done? And we can hear Jesus say, whatever's right, I'll do it. Whatever's right, I'll take care of it. Lord, help us to serve you because of who you are, not because of what we get. But God, help us to also realize as we serve you, as we sell out to you, as we, God, we just give you ourselves, that you will take care of us, that you will do what's right for us. It'll be for our good and for thy glory. Lord, you said in the Bible that if we cast our bread upon the water, we'll find it after many days. And then David said, I would have fainted. I would have given up. I would have quit. Unless I have believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Lord, we can't demand anything from you. We can't call anything down out of heaven. But not all of us can stand and say, I believe God's going to do what's right in my life. No matter what circumstances, no matter what happens, no matter what takes place, no matter, God, if we get sick and we won't make it through the sickness, we can still stand and say, God is doing what's right. Lord, help us to see that tonight. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet if we will. Invitations start playing. Doors open. I want you to know tonight, beloved, whatever's right, God will do it. Say, preacher, sometimes it's hard to keep going. I know. Say, preacher, I've given my life to God. That's wonderful. And then deep down in our hearts, we wonder, what is God going to do for us? You might well say tonight, I've got it worse now than I've ever had it before. But beloved, I want you to know something. God's going to do what's right. God's no respecter of persons. God's not going to owe any man anything. We can't believe to see the goodness of God tonight. And we might not see it tomorrow. We might not see it next Sunday. All them times me and Brother Jim's visited and knocked on doors. We might not really see the results for years to come. But you know what God says? God says He'll do what's right. All the prayers we've ever prayed, I'm praying for people now to get saved. I'm praying for some of my family members to be saved right now. And it might not happen today. It might not happen tomorrow. But I can trust God that He's going to do what's right. I'm trusting and I'm praying that God would heal people, that would help people. Some of your personal lives, I know a little bit about your personal lives, and I've been praying for you. And I want God to heal you. I want God to prosper in your life. I want God to take care of you. And just like you, beloved, I want it to happen today. But sometimes we've just got to realize, hey, it might not happen today, it might not happen tomorrow, but God's going to do what's right. I remember when my little boys was smaller than they are now. They'd get hurt outside. They didn't need medicine. They didn't need Band-Aid. All they needed was for mama to kiss it. And that little kiss made it all better. I want to tell you tonight, God can make it all better. And God will make it all better. It'll be too late, but when we get to heaven, we'll see. We'll see the goodness of God then. And all that God's ever done for us on this side of eternity. But as we go through this life, as I walk through this journey I'm in, I want to continue to believe God that God's going to do what's right. That I go ahead and surrender myself to Him. Forsake everything the world could ever give me, all the money, all the fame, all the fortune. And that God's going to give me 100-fold. God would give you more than the world can ever offer you. God would give you more than the devil could ever give you. He said, whatever's right, I'll do it. Peter said, Lord, we've been following you for these so many years. We've been at your beckoning call and done everything you've asked us to do the best we can. Lord, what are you going to do for us? I believe Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, I'll do what's right. That's what I would do for you. I'll do what's right. Father, we thank you. We love you. Thank you, God, for the precious boys and girls we have here, the young men and women, the teenagers that we have. God, they're so precious to us. And God, we're praying for them. And we want the best for them. And God, they'll start school this next week or in weeks to come. And God, I believe you'll be there with them, protect them, and guide them, and lead them, and help them make the right choices and right decisions in life. And God, some of them might have to forsake friends, forsake other things in their life to follow after Jesus. But I believe when it's all said and done, it'd be worth it. Lord, we as parents, as mamas and daddies and grandmamas and granddaddies, we'll be going to work this week. And there's probably a few friends that we have to separate ourselves from. There's probably a few leisure things this week we'll have to not be engaged in. But I believe it'll be worth it. I believe when we give ourselves to you, wholeheartedly give ourselves to you, God, you'll never do wrong by us. You always do what's right. And when we get to heaven, we'll never say, God, we wish you would have done more. But I believe every one of us will say, God, I wish I would have done more. God, help me to do what I can while I can for as long as I can. Because you'll not tarry, you're coming. You're coming for us. Take us home. Lord, I pray, God, you'll bless the church members tonight, the visitors tonight, the friends we have. God, you'll be so near and dear to every one of them, their families. God, meet every need that they have in their life, spiritual needs. God, help us to believe to see the goodness of God this week. Lord, sometimes it don't pay off when we want it to pay off. We don't reap when we want to reap. But there's coming a day when all the pain and suffering and heartache will be worth it all. Lord, thank you for your goodness.